Meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Council President Boobin Wanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And Councilmember Cardoza is having surgery on his knee today, so we wish him the best. And Justin Sturgeon's not here, so if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item, we need to amend the agenda.
I move we amend the agenda to add item 4C8 under the consent agenda, the alcohol license renewal for KJ Superstore.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to add item 4C8 under the consent agenda for KJ Superstore alcohol license renewal. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. So that brings us to the consent agenda. Any questions or comments? Or
if nobody has anything, I move we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Brings us right to public hearings. This is a public hearing in consideration to approve 18-09-S preliminary plat. Jace Hellman.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application for you this evening is for consideration of preliminary plat located on West Park Avenue. Staff has reviewed the preliminary plat for technical compliance and confirms the application complies with the goals and policies of CUNA City Code, Title 5 and Title 6 specifically, Idaho State Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan and the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map, which identifies the site as medium-density residential. In your packet, staff's included preliminary findings, which can be found at the end of the staff report in the packet. And if council wishes to modify all or specific findings, those changes must be specified. And I'll stand for any questions you guys may have.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. And we don't have the applicant here. Do we? Is there anything you wanted to add? Okay. Thank you. All right. So this is a public hearing. We'll go ahead and open that up for testimony. I have two signed up. Glenda Sanders, if you would like to step up to the microphone and state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, you
go ahead anytime you're ready.
Okay, so we live right next door to this proposed subdivision. My pictures are in your packet on page 269, 270, 271. And it just shows how close the property line is to the back of my house. My house is within 3 feet from their proposed fence. And so I'd just like to ask... if that can be moved, I'd like it to be moved maybe three feet into their side, just so nothing happens to my property by people driving home, or that emergency vehicles can get into that space if ever they need to, because 3 feet is just not wide enough. Also, there's an 8-year-old tree. I don't think you can see it in the pictures. I'd like that to be relocated to somewhere else on my property. When we moved the deck, when I first moved in there, we moved the deck around to the other side of the house, but the tree just continued to grow, and it's about 8 or 9 years old right now. When the driveway was put in, my dad spent $2,000 on putting it in with the consent of the next-door neighbor who owned the lot before. His name was Dan. My dad put it all in, and now we're going to have to move it over from where their fence is going, and so that's going to cost us a lot. I was hoping that they maybe could move that material that we paid for that we put on that existing driveway right now. And I think that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
So just to clarify, are you saying you guys put driveway, like pavers or something?
Mm-hmm. And then had it mashed down in there.
And it's on his property?
It is. It's on, because it wasn't his property. It was the other neighbor's property. And then we both used that driveway.
Property
he used it for when he came and did stuff on the lot, and we used it for our site.
Do you have any sort of easement, or is it just the...
No.
Okay.
And have you talked to the new owner about any of this stuff? I mean, it looks like that was brought up in the meetings before, and
yes, it was brought up, and it doesn't seem to matter. It matters to me.
Well, sure, yeah.
But I understand it's his property line. I understand that. But the thing is, my house is within 3 feet of that, and I didn't build it. I didn't put it there.
Right.
I just bought it.
Okay.
We moved everything else that was back there. There was a patio and a hot tub and a gazebo, and we moved everything else around to the other side of the house because we knew the property line was right there. The tree stayed, and but the house is just too close to a fence and driveway.
Okay, thank you very much. And Jeff Marler. If you would state your name and address for the record, and then you may have at it.
My name is Jeff Marler, 260 Cedar Avenue. Basically, just to kind of maybe clarify a little bit what my wife said, her dad had a verbal agreement with the previous owner to, he put in the driveway, they would share it for both uses. That's kind of how that came to be originally. The previous meeting here, the plaintiff or the developer agreed to give a few extra feet away from the house so at least we could get a lawnmower between the house and where the fence is going to be. And emergency access was also brought up about that. Our other concerns are the irrigation. We rely on that irrigation, as everybody in down the line usually probably does. Is there going to be interruptions of that? I've heard there's design changes. They're going to have to one time put in 390 degrees. I don't know how that's all going to work with gravity, but that's a concern of ours. At the end of Park, there used to be a dirt easement access type of road. It's since grown over. Cedar Avenue is considered an alleyway. There's only one way in and one way out. Makes it difficult. Especially the garbage men, they get to the end of the park, they have to back up 1,000-plus feet into somebody else's driveway to turn around to get out of there. Why can't that easement, be turned into an access point so it eliminate, have two one entrance and one exit, or two access points for that road? That would alleviate some issues. They're wanting to subdivide into three lots, is my understanding, but I have a question that the owner's going to maintain the partial ownership of part of the property for the driveway and I think the front area. So he's going to be the owner of that and then subdivide into three houses. To me, that adds up to four subdivided properties and not three, so I'm not quite understanding how that works. And all that's going on 0.5 of an acre. Seems to be a little crowded and overkill with that. That's pretty much all I got to say on that.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Marler?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Rebuttal.
Mr. Mayor, Council Members, Eric Anderson, 1119 East State Street, Eagle, Idaho. We've actually gone through a lot of these issues a few times. Regarding the setbacks around the house, we've agreed to jog the fence around the house to the required setbacks that the city maintains. We have not discussed jogging the property line, and I would not do that. I mean, that's where the property line is, and if they ever sell or move their house, I mean, now we got to be jogging the property line. So we've offered to work with them with the fencing and give them access, and that's already been done. We've offered to move the tree and relocate it out to the street side. So I represent the new owner, by the way. So so we've agreed to these terms already. And with regard to the suit or the irrigation, our engineer does have to work through that, and it has to be approved through the city before we can do anything. So we've covered that as well. The other access is not usable. We have to take access where we're taking it, and that's what we're doing. That's what ACHD requires as well. Regarding the material, I mean, that's up to the two owners. I mean, if someone put a driveway on his property years ago, I'm not sure what you do with that. I hope the two owners can work together and make it beneficial to both. I know the new owner, Victor Clark, has been very helpful and willing to work with the neighbors and make things satisfactory. But other than that, I stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Anderson?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Jace, would you step back up? So it's my understanding that this was subdivided before, right? And so is it this, and that this process really isn't necessary except for the owners wanting to do extra things and have more requirements? I guess I'm a little confused on that.
So this is what I'm referring to, I guess, for the record, Jason Hellman, Cunipata Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. If what you're referring to is the special use permit process they went through last year, is that correct?
Well, it's already in three parcels, so how did we get to where we're at today?
Okay, so last year they came in for a special use permit for one triplex. Following the public hearings, which is a special use permit, went to planning and zoning, it was approved. There was a lot of distaste with the community around the area. And so they came back through with a preliminary plat because this lot was only half of an acre. So in order to get their three buildable lots, they're dividing it into three lots. It is a part of the amendable Cuna Orchard tracks, but they're re-subdividing to create three separate buildable lots. And the driveway and the landscaping are all part of the proposed three lots, except they'll just sit in easements and be maintained by the people living within the subdivision.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
And then they had mentioned something about the owner was going to keep the entrance in the driveway or something so it would be separate from the properties?
So the owner has a condition as of the developer in the first year of the landscaping. They keep the rights to the landscaping to maintain it. After that, it goes to their mini CC or HOA that they're creating. The driveway is a part of, well, again, will be developer maintained. And the applicant, if I can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, will be owner-maintained, and then once the year passes, they'll be into the hands of the HOA again.
Okay.
So the driveway is crossing all three lots. It's a part of all three lots, just separated by an easement.
So it's just kind of similar to the way most subdivisions are. The property is kept, and then when it's all done, it's turned over to the HOA. And
it's a common area.
Okay. Common area, that's what I was trying to say, yes. Okay. Anybody else have any questions for Dave?
No. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Thank you very much.
Let's see. So, I appreciate that you guys came and testified. We don't always get people coming to provide input on our decisions, so it's always appreciated when people do take that time. I wanted to make sure that you guys know that we hear what you say, but then also explain why some of the concerns that you have aren't things that we have the authority to fix or to interfere with. So in terms of where the property line is, we don't have the ability to, like, order them to just give up a portion of their property. Certainly you guys would have the ability to negotiate if you wanted to try to purchase that, if they were willing to do any sort of adjustment. It sounds like based on how they've done the layout, that might not be an option. But our hands are kind of tied in that regard, just because, you know, the property lines are whatever the deeds say they are. With regard to the driveway and the tree, again, they're items that are on another person's property, and so we don't really have the ability to say, you know, hey, you can't use this part of your property for the benefit of somebody else. Our hands are kind of tied with regard to those. In terms of the access, the streets being narrow or so forth, ACHD does have to approve how the streets are maintained, including the access to this. I know that in the packet it mentions needing to improve, was it park, and add sidewalk curb and gutter and that sort of thing. So to the extent the roads are maybe insufficient now, I'm hopeful that you'll be happier with how they look, that some of those narrowness concerns and things like that would be addressed. I think those were the main things that I could address. Besides that, I mean, they are asking for a rezone and a density that still complies with the overall zoning that's already on the property. So in that regard, I'm not really sure what authority we would have to say you can't use it that way because it's already zoned that way. Those were kind of my thoughts as I looked through things. Does anybody else have thoughts or feedback?
I don't know who could answer this exactly. One of the site-specific conditions of approval is that they provide written fire department approval for reduced access to the site via Cedar Avenue. Is that something that needs to be done ahead of time, or is that before they can build, they have to have a letter from the fire department?
Is that from ACHD?
That is ACHD.
Yeah, so it will be with their before they can get their final plat recorded. Just because there are roadway improvements, they didn't qualify for our short plat, the final plat, pre-plat combo. So before the plat can get recorded, they'll have to get the approval from fire department to say that they're wide enough.
Good. Thank you. I want to make you jump up a couple more times. Did anybody else have anything they want to talk to staff or anyone else about for the public hearing?
So just because we have had multiple times now to reopen it after we've closed it, my personal preference is to just proceed with not closing, going ahead and deliberating before we close it, just so we don't run into it, because we can't
imagine.
So in terms of the other items that we are to consider, the comp plan, CUNA City Code, it appeared to me that everything complied with City Code, and it met all the relevant portions of the comp plan. I didn't see any issues there. Anybody else have thoughts? Or concerns that you wanted addressed before we move forward on it?
Yeah, I think you covered a lot of good talking points there, Brianna.
Okay.
And so I will disclose that my brother owns the property directly to the south of this property. And that won't really affect my decision making, so I don't believe I will abstain. I just wanted to have it on the record that my brother does own the property on the other side of the fence to the south.
All right. Okay, then. I move we approve case number 1809S with the conditions of approval as listed, and that we also close the public hearing, and that we direct staff to prepare findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order of decision for approval by council on the next council meeting consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, guys.
Next is the 2019 Grange Month Proclamation. Whereas social interaction and educational efforts are the keystones that have allowed great achievements in nonpartisan legislative action and much-needed service projects of the Grange, which have benefited the communities and states in which our members reside, and whereas the Grange has played a major role in the development of rural America during three centuries, advocating for legislative protection for farmers through the Granger laws in the 1800s, promoting research and education into improve agriculture through the Cooperative Extension Service and land grant colleges, and working to expand mail delivery and electricity to rural areas in the 1900s, and encouraging the expansion of broadband internet service in the 2000s. And whereas the Grange has remained true to the ideal of developing a better and higher manhood and womanhood to ensure that each member is given the opportunity to rise to their full potential as leaders, as Americans, and as a contributing part of mankind. And whereas the Grange includes all members of the family within their organization to meet, talk, work, and in the general act together for their mutual protection and advancement, and whereas the Grange emphasizes civic responsibility and the involvement of people in the legislative process, And whereas the Cuna Grange will celebrate 109 years of service to our city on May 11th, 2019, they welcome those desiring to make positive difference in the lives of those around them and recognize that the doors of the Cuna Grange number 59 in Cuna, Idaho, are open to all seeking to improve our city and state through open discussion, civility towards those who may differ, and to grow as a person. And whereas the values of the Grange are needed by America now more than ever, now therefore be it resolved that I, Joel Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Idaho, hereby proclaim April 2019 to be Grange Month in the City of Cuna, Ada County, State of Idaho. And I'd also like to mention that the Grange suffered a big loss this year, actually just recently, with the loss of Don Johnson. He was definitely a staple in the community and in the Grange and just in the community in general. So he is certainly going to be missed, and I just wanted to add that in there. But anyway, thank you.
And I would just like to pitch that we're having the Grange Month program, if you will, on Thursday night at 6:30 at the Grange Hall. And a little bird told me that somebody sitting up here might be getting honored, so it's not me. Yes, please come. There'll be refreshments.
Cookies. It's always cookies. All right. Thank you. Did you want to say anything about?
No, that's fine. I'd like to invite everyone. Everyone's welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
B, consideration to approve 19-01-TE time extension. Jace Hellman, planner.
Good evening once again. For the record, Jace Hellman, Cuna Planning Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you is just a request for a time extension of the preliminary plat. Cuna City Code sets them to expire after 2 years. They're coming up on their two-year mark. So the applicant has requested a time extension for the Caspian subdivision preliminary plat, which would then essentially restart the timeline for the 2 years for the first phase and then a year every year after that. Or a year phase every year after that.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
No.
Or about the process or anything?
So if I heard that right, by doing this extension, it just resets that two-year period? Is that what?
Correct. It resets the two-year time clock. And that doesn't mean they're going to take the 2 years to get it done. That's just if they don't hit the 2 years, then their preliminary plat expires and they come back to public hearing again. So it's just a reset of the clock.
Okay. Anything further for Jace?
Nope. Right,
thank
thanks.
You, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Jace.
As noted in the packet, it seemed like there was good cause for the extension, and I therefore am looking for what motion would need to be made in order to accomplish that. Is it just I move we approve 19-01-TE?
Thanks, that'll do.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 19-01-TE. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-09. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the Cuna Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessor's Challenger Development.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, with your permission, on the last motion, would the maker of the motion be willing to amend the motion to allow that those findings be submitted in the consent agenda the next council meeting for the approval of the time extension in accordance with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission or staff. Because I think that what they want is they want to have the findings come back before the council, which you could do in your consent agenda like you're doing, which supports the basis for your findings for granting the extension.
Okay.
You want to do it? I think Jay's going to explain.
Yeah. So members of the council, basically code requires that two-year extension to be approved. So basically it begins at the time of approving under the findings of fact. So once, if it's on the consent agenda, the two-year, if it is approved by the council, that two-year timeline then resets at the time of the approvings and findings of fact. That's how code is stated that way.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Can we just get it written, like, in the future? If we need to have something specific, can we have it written that way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's written the right way under 6, but not under 7. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just need to amend my motion now, or should I just make a new motion?
Bill Gigray, city attorney. Try to do it right this time. Mr. Mayor, members of the council,
yeah.
If you would entertain a motion, maybe to rescind the motion that was made and then restate it and get a second for that, and then just restate it with this provision in it, I think that would work.
I move to rescind my last motion.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to rescind the motion on 19-01-TE. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move. We approve. Case number 1901 TE, and I direct staff to prepare findings of fact and conclusions of law and an order of decision for approval by council on the next council meeting consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded.
Yep, we got the agreement.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-09, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Challenger Development Incorporated, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-09.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-09.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-09. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council Member Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boven-Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-10, a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council and the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties to wit Ada County Assessor's parcel numbers S14181-20755, owned by JRL Properties, LLC, and S14181-21130, owned by JRL Properties, LP, situated within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of CUNA into the City of CUNA, Idaho, and respectively establishing R8 zoning district classification of said real properties and amending the official zoning map and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2019-10.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance Number 2019-10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2019-10.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance Number 2019-10. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Mayor and council announcements. Does anybody have anything they want to announce?
No.
Remember Saturday's kind of cleanup day if you didn't put all your extra garbage out. And it's also the Easter egg hunt at the high school.
True.
Okay. Warren?
Nothing.
Staff? Yes, Chris.
Website changes over at 1 o'clock on Thursday to the new one. We'll spend the next week kind of getting things updated and any glitches, and then we'll do the big ta-da about May 1st.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Lisa and I were trying to decide who was going to go first. Just wanted to bring up real quick that we have the rate study complete, and we would like to go over that with council at our workshop. So here in the next few weeks, we'll send out some ideas on that and look for your guys' responses and try to accommodate your schedules as best as possible.
Lisa Holland for the record, Economic Development Director. Mine's an update on workshops, too. Last month, I came and presented to you some ideas for tools for economic development, and I'm going to work with JUB to come in and do a third-party workshop, and so I'll just need to find a date that works for all of you, if you'd like to all attend, and get some advice from you on what days would be best, what times would be best, and we can get that set up. So we're going to aim for a 1.5 to 2 hour workshop.
Okay.
Good. Bobby,
is it fair to ask everyone's about a splash pad at you?
It is not the first of the month.
I know, but we're going to make you do it anyway.
I wasn't going to ask.
We're looking pretty good for Memorial Day. We spoke with Idaho Power. They should be working with us, getting our extra service, hopefully by the end of the week. And then next week, we're going to go through and put all the toys and stuff up on the splash pad. So, working towards getting it done.
Good. Nice. Okay. Anything else?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I just reported on legislation. There's really no change from what I reported on at the last meeting, other than House Bill 217A was signed by the governor on April 9th. And that's the one that if revenue allocations from an urban renewal agency would contribute more than 51% for the construction of a remodel of a municipal building or multi-purpose sports stadium and exceed the cost of $1 million, then there is a required vote of the public and a 55% approval. Now, this probably has no coincidence with what's going on in Boise now. But,
of course not.
That will become law if we ever go that route.
Had a very interesting discussion at our Treasure Valley Partnership meeting with the mayor of Nampa, who sent paperwork in support of that, and our mayor of Boise, who was displeased with that. So... That made excitement at that meeting. But
that may be because the Idaho Center is already built.
And that's exactly what was mentioned. And it went downhill quickly from there. All right. Anything else? If not, meeting is adjourned.